We're going to go to Miller Park and bring in Kerry Crowley. Kerry, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Marty. Excellent this morning. Sunny in Milwaukee. Looks like it's going to be another beautiful day out here.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, and it was 3 hours, I think 54 minutes last night, and I said this on the postgame show. I never got bored last night. And there's something about the Giants team. It's not the core guys. It's everything else around it, and they've become very entertaining.
And they've done it in a way that's really been surprising, because they've done it in the late innings. They have not been fazed by these relievers, these high-powered arms at the back end of bullpens lately. We saw them do it against Josh Hader on Friday night, Jordan Jeffries last night. They needed the help from Lorenzo Cain's error, but you really can't count the Giants out right now. As long as they're within striking distance, they've proven that they can come back in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings, and it's made them much more entertaining to watch for their fans.
Yeah, I think so. All right, the bullpen last night, and, you know, I don't know if you talked to Bochy after the game or not, but Gott comes in the sixth inning. Then in the seventh inning, they've got Watson. The eighth inning, Dyson. Ninth inning, Maranta. This is not the normal sequence that they go on. What happened last night?
Well, I think that part of that was because they had used their relievers in the normal sequence that they wanted to on Friday night when Anderson went just five innings, but they were able to pull out the victory against Milwaukee there. And so, you know, a few of these guys had a little bit of rust, I thought, coming back from the All-Star break. Maybe they're not playing catch every day like they were during the first half of the season. But you see that they fall behind. They've got the deficit. And so Austin Slater puts them out in front, and Bochy's got to manage a little bit differently. And we saw Maranta and Dyson come in for the second night in a row. And I think that's hard to do, coming right back from the All-Star break to pitch on consecutive days. And we know that Sam Dyson is so good when he doesn't have to pitch on consecutive days, when he has that extra day of rest. But last night, the ball just didn't have the sink that he normally has, and the Brewers roughed him up.
No, it didn't. And for Dyson, for some reason, his road splits are dramatically different than at home. I don't know if there's any reason for it, but it's one of those baseball anomalies that you run into. But when you look at the game last night, a lot of good things happened. And one is Austin Slater. And Dwayne said it on the postgame show last night, that you watch Austin Slater now, he looks like a totally different hitter than last year. And boy, big pinch hit for him last night, and got the Giants back in it.
So I think he's just a completely different player right now after overhauling his swing. He looks really comfortable at the plate. He's still got that opposite field approach that he brought with him when he was first called up in 2017 for the 73 games he played for the Giants in 2018. But the difference is he's driving the ball in the air. He's getting under the ball a little bit more. And he's just got so much confidence at the plate right now. And it's a joy to watch for the Giants. And I think that when they first called him up on June 1st, they just wanted an extra bat in the lineup, an extra right-hander to face those Padres lefties. But now he's put the Giants in a position where you can't send him down. You need his bat in the lineup on an almost everyday basis. And he's really been a delight for manager Bruce Bochy, because he can play left field, he can play right field. We haven't seen him go to second base or third base in a pinch, but he does offer that added bit of versatility that makes him so valuable to this Giants club.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, and for some reason Joe Panik is in a little bit of a fielding slump right now. The hitting has not come around all year. Crawford made a big error last night that he just misjudged a ball. Can Slater play second base? Is that possible?
I think it's possible, but I think that, you know, they'll throw Donovan Solano out there before they would put Austin Slater out there, because you need Slater in the outfield at this point, especially with Dickerson's back tightening up a little bit, with Tyler Austin not really able to hit right-handed pitching. Austin Slater can do that, and Donovan Solano has been really good of late, Marty. Okay. Over the past month and a half or so during this Giants hot streak, he's been a guy you kind of want in there, whether it's giving Crawford a rest or Panik a rest. He's been more productive than both of those players.
Okay, all right, so Solano at second, I think, and you're right, Slater probably would be in the outfield. So they've got, I think Dickerson's going to the injured list. That's my guess on this thing. Because you need bodies now, especially where they're going tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about where they're going tomorrow, which was a nutty game last night in Colorado. But what kind of a move do they make today to get Beattie back on the roster?
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if Mike Yastrzemski went down for 10 days, just because they do need the extra pitching. They can't afford to let Austin Slater out of their sight. And so Yastrzemski's got three minor league options. He can go back to the PCL. recalibrate play every day there, and you bring up the pitcher and Beattie, and then you go to Coors Field where you're just going to need all hands on deck. And I think that that's why we don't see the Giants listing a starter for game two tomorrow yet, or Tuesday's game against Colorado. Drew Pomeranz is no longer listed as the probable starter. And I think it's because they really need all hands on deck after a short start from Sean Anderson, just five innings from Madison Bumgarner. This pitching staff is going to be taxed in a way that it really hasn't in a few weeks.
Well, it's going to be interesting. They've got some moves to make over the next couple of days. Last night in Colorado, a three-hour, five-minute rain delay, three-hour, 58-minute game, 17-9, five triples, three home runs. Philip Ervin, 26-year-old player out of Samford College, goes 6-for-6. Giants go into Colorado tomorrow. I can't imagine what's going to happen there.
Neither can I. Tomorrow is going to be one of the longest days in Giants history, in my opinion. You've got 2 days in Colorado. You don't know, aside from Jeff Samardzija, who's going to be able to pitch and how many innings they're going to be able to give you. I think that's one of the reasons that they preserved Derek Holland. It's one of the reasons that they built up Derek Rodriguez, because even if Rodriguez doesn't make a start, they can call him up as the 26th man and try to get four or five innings out of him. Pitching at Coors Field is just always so difficult, and especially this year with the juice baseballs, with the heat that they'll have in Denver. It's supposed to be in the 90s all week.
Wow.
I mean, this could be a really, really long series and potentially very unforgiving to pitchers on both sides.
All right, well, let's see where the Giants are at. The Rockies are hitting the ball like crazy. Arenado home run last night, and a couple on Friday night. But the Reds, 17-9, they win last night. With, as I said, five triples, home runs, 6-for-6, and this is what the Giants are going into. Okay, let's talk Madison Bumgarner for a minute. And I read all the stories. I read Henry's story this morning, of course, extolling the virtues of Bumgarner and how tough he is and didn't have all his stuff but somehow gutted through five innings. But where's the stuff? You know, that's the thing. You know, if that is that who he's become now? Is he a man of heart and not with the great stuff anymore?
You know, I think it's difficult to say, and I look back on last night's start, five innings, 103 pitches, only gave up one run, it wasn't earned, but needed help from his defense. I kind of wonder what contending clubs will view last night's start as, if they're interested in trading for Madison Bumgarner, because what do you make of it? I mean, he nibbled around the corners, he got swings and misses when he needed to, but he also didn't have the electric stuff that we've seen at times this season, like he had against the Dodgers earlier this year when he went seven innings, one run at Oracle Park, only giving up that home run to Max Muncy. And so the stuff hasn't been there as consistently as it has in the past. The velocity was down a tick last night. He thought the elbow might have had a little bit to do with that. So, again, each time we see Madison Bumgarner, it's almost like, okay, what's he going to do next time? How is he going to come back from this start? And so it's very difficult to get a read on him at this point, and I don't think we could say that in the past.
Yeah, he's tough. There's no doubt about it. You know, if you need a game in a big situation, he's not going to give in. But 24 foul balls last night, in trouble every inning. And how about the play, Pilar to Crawford to Posey? That was one of the best defensive plays we've seen all year, to nail. Was it? I forget who it was at the plate, but
Moustakas
at the plate. How about that play?
Yeah, you know, a great throw from Pilar into Crawford. Crawford's throw, good velocity on that, pulls Posey up the line. And I just thought that that was probably one of the best defensive plays you'll see a catcher make this season. The degree of difficulty on that play from Buster Posey was really, I mean, you just look at the short hop that he had to come up with, and then to swipe the tag on Moustakas, who was going inside toward the first base side of home plate. That was Buster Posey at his finest behind home plate. And in my opinion, he's having a Gold Glove caliber season. He may not be there with the bat, but he's been so good defensively, and we've seen it on display a few times, not just with that play, but getting Lorenzo Cain at third base last night, the perfect throw to get him in the first inning of Friday night's game. And that was really tremendous team defense from the Giants on that play on a night where they didn't play great defense overall.
What's your take on the Brewers?
I don't know. They need a lot of help. They need a lot of bullpen help.
Yeah.
They could use another starter. They're the ideal team for the Giants to be trading with right now. I mean, you've got a team that needs a starting pitcher. They could go after Madison Bumgarner. You need a team that you've got a team that needs a few relievers. You could go after Will Smith, who's comfortable in Milwaukee. He came from Milwaukee to the Giants. Maybe you throw in a Reyes Moronta or a Sam Dyson, and you've got yourself a potentially nice deal for both sides. And I think that they're one of the teams. Zach Manassian knows the system, the director of pro scouting for the Giants. It's just lining up to where I think these two teams will come together before the trade deadline.
Really? Okay. That's a good prediction. How about Hira? How about this guy?
There's no way they're giving Hira up.
He's terrific.
No,
isn't he something?
Yeah, he is quite good. I mean, a 2017 draft pick, rocketed his way to the major leagues, and he looks like he's going to be special, and he can play second base, provide some power from that position. So if the Giants are going to go after a middle infielder for the Brewers, I wouldn't be surprised if it's the Honduras native Mauricio Dubon who ends up in San Francisco.
Really? Boy, he didn't look good in his one at bat. They took the bat out of his hand the other night.
Yeah, the Aaron Altair one at bat sample size.
Wow, that's not good. Well, boy, interesting, huh? I mean, really, it's, you know, they've played well, 20-15. Entertaining series. It was a great game. I said I never lost interest in it last night. More of the same coming today than Colorado. They've turned the season into something that they're sort of like, I would say, must watch, but you want to keep in touch with the Giants.
Well, at the beginning of the season, it was the same three stories. You've got a team that would get three hits, or a team that would give up three first inning runs and not be able to come back. Or, you know, you'd have Drew Pomeranz or Jeff Samardzija struggle and the offense would play all right, but it wasn't enough. And so now the Giants have started to put things together. They've got the fifth best winning percentage in baseball since June 1st. You can't count them out in the late innings. And they've become an intriguing story in a National League that is so tight right now. Outside of the Dodgers and the Braves down in Atlanta, there's no teams that are really running away with things. And so they're only five games back in the wild card. I think it's really probably unrealistic for them to expect to contend for that second wild card spot at this point. They still have plenty of work left to do, but you can't count them out yet. And you know, looking back in the middle of May, I wouldn't have guessed that would be the case.
No. Well, it's good to talk with you. Have a great time in Colorado. As I said last night, even though it was a loss, it was kind of a continuation of how they play. And I think that was pretty good. And we'll see what Beattie does today against an old friend, and that is Chacin. They've seen him a million times, and he's got off-speed stuff and sliders and all that, so we'll see what they do with him. But what an interesting season it's turned out to be. Thanks for coming on today, and have a safe trip to Colorado. And yes, you're right. You've got a long day tomorrow.
Yes, indeed. I would say I'm looking forward to it, but I'm looking forward to Tuesday at this point, Marty.
All right. Have a great time, Kerry. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That is Kerry Crowley, Bay Area News Group. Boy,